Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
How beneficial was this time off for your knee? And how confident are you that with a pretty compact schedule of games, you'll be able to be at your best throughout this schedule in the bubble?
Yeah, it was super important for me. I really, really needed that break. It definitely helped me, you know, get back to myself and, you know, start to feel comfortable, you know, on my knee. You know, it was a very unfortunate time, but it was in my best interest for sure. So yeah, I mean, I'm pretty comfortable with the way the schedule is, and you know, just gonna keep on taking care of myself. That's really all I can do. So I'm just gonna stay on top of things and, you know, take it day by day.
All right, 110%, one day at a time. Blah 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 blah. Cliche, cliche, cliche.
The knee's good to go, according to Kemba Walker. Brian Barrett, Greg Dickerson with you. 617-779-7937. The one thing I would say to Kemba Walker is, we'll see if the knee's okay. And it's unfortunate that three different times this year he's been sidelined with a knee issue. But last time he came back, he's only averaging about 15 points per game.
Came back too early.
Yeah, he wasn't. And I feel like that's a trend, that they brought him back early too many times when he got the knee injury. But I feel like you can't guarantee anything with that knee. I'm afraid that when you get into the bubble, when you are grinding through a potential Eastern Conference semifinals after we saw this year three times it affects him, that same thing's not going to happen again.
I mean, you're talking four games in a week, and you're talking, I got to relook at the schedule. I don't know how many back-to-backs or back-to-back-to-backs there are.
Yeah.
I know they're talking about back-to-back-to-backs for next season, but yeah, you wonder how much wear and tear and strain is going to be on that knee, even though he's had the 3 months off.
Yeah, and that's what worries me about Kemba, specifically for this, but also in the long term, because this is a smaller point guard, and they usually, the exceptions are like Steve Nash and John Stockton. Most of them, they don't age great, and he just signed that contract with the Celtics. This is the first year of it. He's had two meniscus tears in the same knee, and he's had another procedure on that knee, so that's three. He's been out three different times this year with a knee issue where he got it injected, he got it drained. I'm just not optimistic that it's going to hold up throughout this four-year contract that Danny Ainge gave him last summer. And I know at the time people were celebrating it because Kyrie was gone. Everybody hated Kyrie, and obviously Kemba, from a personality standpoint, could not be any different. Everybody loves the guy.
But so you don't think it was worth the risk?
I'm just worried about the knee long term.
I can be worried about it, and I don't disagree with you. You can be worried about it, but it was a risk worth taking. It's a risk you absolutely end up taking because you had the money. You had the money to spend. You needed that kind of player. You needed that type of personality on your roster. So I think you make the run at him. I don't think he's at the point where Isaiah Thomas was a number of years ago, where you were like, do we re-sign him? Do we, because of the size? I think the Kemba Walker gamble is much smarter and will be more beneficial than the gamble that would have been had you signed Isaiah Thomas to that long-term deal. And smartly, Danny Ainge didn't sign him, and look what Isaiah turned out to be.
Yeah, great call by Danny Ainge. And I remember the whole Anthony Davis crap, like he didn't want to come here because Isaiah Thomas, how they treat it.
His father.
Yeah, what are you going to do, give him $200 million when the guy's coming off a significant hip injury? I get what he did for the franchise, but you can't pay him for past performance. But the other thing I mentioned is, like, one of the guys that I thought at the time, and I said it the day that I was doing the show when the free agency happened, I was interested in Brogdon just because of the fact his age lines up more with Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Now, obviously, in aggregate, Kemba Walker's a significantly better player, but Brogdon doesn't need the ball to be good offensively. He can shoot threes. I'm just worried about the long-term health of that contract with Kemba Walker. The one thing I will say is Kemba's biggest contribution to this team and this year is the fact that when he went out, Jason Tatum emerged as a star in the league.
Right.
Now, he's done it for 5 weeks. I want to see him carry that into the postseason, and I believe he will, but he's done it for 5 weeks. But that was the biggest contribution Kemba made to the team this year is Jason Tatum's now the superstar.
But there's the rub with Kemba Walker. Unlike in Charlotte, where you're asking Kemba Walker to be everything and do everything, you're not asking him
right.
to do that here. You could legitimately make the case and say Kemba Walker could be your third or fourth offensive option between Tatum, Brown, occasionally Hayward. I mean, so you're not talking about him. You got to get us 26 points. We got to get 24 points every single night out of Kemba Walker. You don't need that out of him. You don't need that pressure out of him.
Yeah, and that organically was never going to happen if Kyrie Irving was still in the equation and
right.
Kemba Walker was not in the equation, because Kemba's done all the, okay, let me try to carry a bad franchise in Charlotte, and he went to the playoffs a couple of times, did not have much team success. So at this point in his career, and especially considering he felt it was a slap in the face that they didn't offer him the Supermax yeah. contract. So the Celtics come in and he says, all right, well, if I'm going to leave, I was going to get my money. If I'm going to leave, I'm going to go somewhere where I have a chance to win. So he's going to be open to taking a little bit of a backseat. And that's what Tatum's going to have to prove mm-hmm. heading into this Eastern Conference Finals or Eastern Conference playoffs, if you will. And I believe he's got the real opportunity if the bubble doesn't burst to see whether or not he's the second best player in the Eastern Conference behind Giannis Antetokounmpo. I believe he's got that type of potential. So either way this goes, or any way it goes for the Celtics, mm-hmm. at least you found the guy, and that was what you were searching for with all those draft picks for a number of years.
I'm dying to see what this franchise ends up looking like and what they end up doing next year. I mean, to me, almost anything is a bonus. Excuse me. Almost anything is a bonus in the bubble down in Orlando. I want to see what this team does with a, knock on wood, full year next year.
Yeah, and a full year going into the season where you actually kind of know the hierarchy of the team,
right?
Like Tatum's, you didn't know that coming. We thought it would be Kemba coming into the season, and then Tatum emerged.
Well, you didn't know that you weren't certain. None of us were certain that Tatum was going to make that leap, make that step that he's made this year as a player.
And there was that conversation about Jaylen or Tatum, like
right.
which one is better. I always thought Tatum had the higher upside, but there
right.
was that conversation about those two as well. The one guy I think that is facing pressure heading into this thing, because Tatum's still young, would be Stevens, because I don't want to say that he's gotten a pass in this town or anything.
He has gotten a huge pass in this
well,
town.
Well, and
what
that,
has he won?
Well, it's a fair point.
He's been here for 7 years, 6 years now?
Yeah.
What has he won?
Well, and the argument is, okay, well, he overachieved when his team went to the conference finals
Fine.
A couple of years
yep.
ago. But even if you look at that run, so when Mike Budenholzer took over for Joe Prunty / Jason Kidd, he elevated the team by like 16 wins. So obviously the coach wasn't good that he beat that year. Philadelphia he beats in the second round, who Brett Brown couldn't run his nose. Mm-hmm. That guy can't coach. I don't know how he still has a job. And now when you look at the landscape, so in the first round, if they play the Pacers, Nate McMillan's a decent coach. If it's not this, he's fine. And then you would have to play Nick Nurse, who just won a championship, who did some really nice things in Toronto last year, where he pulled out a box and won in the NBA Finals that you see in like high school. And then you have, if you get to the conference finals, you got Mike Budenholzer, who has beaten Brad Stevens in two playoff series. So this is where Brad Stevens has to prove that he is what everybody in this town
He's a good coach.
He
he's a. I think he's a terrific, terrific coach, but I think he's slightly overrated because he hasn't really taken this team anywhere. I don't think this team has ever overachieved. I think there have been times where they've underachieved under Brad Stevens. It doesn't mean he's a bad coach. I just think that you alluded to it, the honeymoon period. Hell, honeymoon period for coaches usually lasts about 2 years. The honeymoon period for Brad Stevens has lasted about 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, well, it feels like now is the time, right? Because first it was always underachieving, or he's overachieving. He doesn't have the guys.
Right.
Last year, well, it was all Kyrie's fault. And now we're in the point where got good chemistry on the
well,
team.
Well, so that was my issue last year with Kyrie, was if you're Brad Stevens, step up and do something about it. Don't let the Kyrie temper tantrum fester and linger throughout the locker room. I thought that he should have done, and maybe he doesn't have it in him. He's probably not that type of personality or type of coach.
Not
that,
Larry Brown. Or
he's
Riley.
Not a Larry Brown or a Pop or Doc Rivers, who would have been able to handle a veteran star player like that. I think that's my biggest concern with Brad Stevens is how he handles, you know, Jason Tatum now that he's a superstar or about to be a superstar. I don't think he has to worry about Kemba Walker because Kemba Walker is low-hanging fruit. He's easy. He's a pro's pro. But to allow the team to fall the way that it fell under Kemba, under Kyrie Irving, I thought was a huge disservice and a huge problem for Brad Stevens.
Well, it was his
What does government mean to you?
That's
not much nowadays. Yeah. Not much at all.
Yeah. Thanks. That's what Kyrie said to Brad Stevens. Well, last year was like his first year with like what I would phrase as NBA problems. So he had great guys for all those years, like the Isaiah Thomases and underachievers like Jay Crowder and then young players like Jaylen Brown. And then last year he had a problem with an NBA guy with a massive ego, and he didn't handle
and
it well.
He didn't address it. He let it fester. He didn't nip it in the bud early on when he should have.
And the only guy that had the balls on that team or in the organization to say anything publicly was Jaylen Brown. He's the only one that said leadership starts at the top when everybody else is just going along with whatever Kyrie said. And then Al Horford, who I was told is like the greatest locker room guy in the history. He's the greatest locker room guy in the history of sports, Greg, and yet this crap was going on and the locker room that he was in. But just to get back to the original Stevens point.
Biggest fraud in the NBA in terms of that.
Al Horford?
Good player, good guy, fraud in terms of locker room leader. All the stuff that people said about him, fraud. Not that guy. Yeah. Absolutely not.
Well, and now is we'll see what happens in Philly, but Danny Ainge got lucky with that because they wanted him back. And Al Horford got all that money in Philly, and he's not performing too well, not to mention those injuries he was starting to get last year, starting to pile up in Philly. But to the Brad Stevens point, I would just look at the East, and the East going forward is there were some bad coaches in the Eastern Conference for a number of years. And now if you look at these top-tier teams, Mike Budenholzer is a good coach. He's won 60 games in two different places, and this year he's winning 57 games when they stopped. Nick Nurse has proven he's a pretty good coach.
Don't forget Spoelstra.
Eric Spoelstra is a good coach. So Brad Stevens has those three guys in the Eastern Conference going forward, and all three of them have pretty good teams. Even Toronto, now maybe they could change course and get rid of Lowry after the season and Gasol, but those are three good coaches that ordinarily you wouldn't have that many good coaches in the East like Brad Stevens was dealing with previously. I mean, those years that they were winning those series, there were not good coaches in the East.
Yeah, I agree.
Freddie Hoiberg, he beat one year. I mean, come on.
What are you saying? The mayor's not a good coach?
Yeah.
You wouldn't want the mayor running your team?
Where is he now? Nebraska or something?
He was in Nebraska. Yeah, he's in Nebraska. If you remember during the Big Ten tournament, he passed out and they thought he might have COVID, but he just had the flu. And then I think a bunch of players left his team. God, I know way too much about Nebraska basketball and Fred Hoiberg. That's sad.
Yeah, they thought, okay, so yeah, I remember that too. So they thought like he had coronavirus, but he just had the flu.
He just had the flu.
Yeah.
And then there was an issue with a number of his players who did not want to play for him or who ended up leaving the team or had some sort of issues. But
although now that I think about that series.
Quality Nebraska talk.
Yeah, I think about that series, 1-8. If Rondo doesn't go down with the injury, the Bulls may beat him. They were up 2-0.
Oh, if Rondo doesn't go down?
Yeah.
Oh, there's no doubt that the Bulls win that series. Absolutely. With the way Rondo was playing, the way the Celtics were playing, there's absolutely no chance that the Celtics win that series.
All right, so just to put a bow on the Celtics conversation, how far do you have them going?
I don't know. I am going to give you the ultimate crappy sports talk radio answer. Okay, you ready? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know how anybody can. And it's not a bad thing to sit and say, I don't know, and not give an opinion. Who the hell knows who's going to show up? Players are dropping like flies every day, either with coronavirus or saying we're not going to play. So I don't know what teams are going to have who. I don't know who's going to be in what kind of shape. I don't know how they're going to handle things as they're down there. I don't know if certain guys are going to start pouting and whining on not just the Celtics, but certain teams being quarantined down there. I don't know. I have no clue. Which, by the way, makes this as if somebody can call this a fraud season or the fraud COVID season or not win a real championship. This is as fascinating of a playoffs as you will ever see. It's different, obviously. But this will be some of the most fascinating basketball you'll ever see in NBA playoffs. Because for once, You know, you look in the NHL, eights beat ones all the time, right. Sevens beat twos. I think you may see that. And if you don't see a seven beating a two, I think you may see, an eight versus one go a full seven games or a full five games, whatever it ends up, whatever it is in the first round. I think you're going to see a lot of top seeded teams scared to death or really pushed to the limit by other teams.
Yeah, it's an interesting point because you think about it like so out west, you have a guy like Luka Doncic, right, who's was an MVP. Not that he was going to win it.
Do we know whether he's in shape or not? Because there was that original report that he was in awful shape, and then I've heard anything since. There was a report about 2 weeks ago that he was not in good shape, and then I haven't heard anything since then about that. I don't even know if it was true.
Well, that throws some cold water on my point then. I was going to
it's just a rumor.
Yeah. Well, I
don't know.
You look at the fact that he was an MVP candidate, not right. that he was going to win it, and now it's basically like he's going into his third season. So he's already emerged, and he's a sixth seed. He could knock off whoever's the three seed if it's the Nuggets. And by the way, you see Jokic, he lost like basically half himself. Yeah. The guy lost 40 pounds. I don't know these guys that
he was always doughy. I never understood how good he was when he was as doughy as he was.
Yeah, him and Marc Gasol both lost like 40 pounds. Marc Gasol looks weird. Have you seen the pictures of him?
No.
He's like unrecognizable. Like because of the beard, you know who
right,
he is.
Yeah.
But if he didn't have the beard, you'd be like, what the hell? He looks like a totally different person. It's almost like Kevin Love, college Kevin Love to now Kevin Love. That's kind of what it looks like. But I'll say they go, the Celtics, they lose in the Eastern Conference Finals to the Bucks. I don't see them beating the Bucks. Would you go to the bubble to cover it or no?
Oh, are you kidding me? Absolutely.
I would too.
Can I give you multiple reasons why? A, money. B, I love basketball. I mean, that's like the dream of dreams, to just sit in there and just watch basketball, call basketball, or report on basketball all day long. It's like being the loser that I am, I used to go to the Summer League out in Vegas every year when I worked for the Celtics, and it was eight games a day, and I just sat in there all day long and just watched nothing but basketball.
So
it was great.
This would basically be that on steroids
This would actually mean something, and I wouldn't be watching future, actors or truck drivers or whatever. I'd be actually watching high-level, top-level basketball players. I'd think about the concerns of leaving my family and the COVID and whatnot, but in the end, the almighty dollar speaks, Brian.
Yeah, I'm single. I would do it in an absolute second. We had
Brian, I'm married. I have a son. I have a wife. I've been cooped up with them, who I love to death, for 4 months now. Get me the hell out of there.
Well, that was my point about some of the NBA players. Don't you think some of the NBA players are saying to themselves, this is the most I've ever been around my family?
Yes.
If you're one of the guys that has three kids, you're like, you know what? This couple of months doesn't seem too bad.
And by the way,
honey, I'm going to make $7 million.
Right, exactly. And by the way, it's not just me that is sick of them. They're sick of me. So I guarantee these NBA players, it's not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. Everybody's sick of each other. Get the hell out. Go. We'll see you in 3 months. Have fun. Be safe.
All right. It's Brian Barrett, Greg Dickerson with you. If you want to join us, the number to do so, 617-779-7937.
Why do you think I'm here on a Saturday morning, Brian? You think I wanted to get up at 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning and come here and work? No.
I wanted to get
away from my family.
Oh, okay. I was under the impression you just wanted to meet me.
Well, there was that, too. That was number two. That was second on the list.
Okay. All right. We'll get you a trending in just a second here on WEI.
God, Nick is a pain in the ass, isn't he? It's like during breaks, it's like, Jesus.
Think he's
God.
Demanding?
It's like, guys, 30 seconds. Guys, we're going to play this sound coming out. God, can we make some decisions around here, Nick?
Greg leaves for 7 months and he thinks he has anything to say.
First of all, it hasn't been 7 months. It was like four, okay? It was like four. It was February. Damn it. I'm just getting a little loopy. It's at the end of the show.
Yeah, it's Brian Barrett, Greg Dickerson with you. If you want to join us, 617-779-7937. I haven't seen the hot dog contest.
Yeah, if I look like I'm not paying attention to you,
you're watching the hot dog contest.
I'm listening to you. I'm just not necessarily looking at you as you're talking sometimes because I'm looking up. I was watching some female contestant just devour them at a massive pace. I don't know who it was. I don't know if she's one of the top contenders, but
I can't even watch it. It's just disgusting to me. I cannot watch it.
Really?
They're putting the buns in the water.
Water, that is gross.
I mean, oh.
That should not be allowed. If you're really going to do a hot dog eating contest, eat the hot dogs the way you would normally eat them, in a regular bun, not soaked in water, so they go down easier. It's just, I don't know. This whole hot dog eating contest, it's not what it used to be. It's not what it was 20 years ago.
When Kobayashi was around?
Exactly. It's all commercialized now. It's all corporate.
Well, Greg, how many can you do in 10 minutes?
Now? As compared to like 6 months ago? I could probably down 10 hot dogs.
Okay. I could do probably 3, and then I'd probably get sick of them.
Well, are you talking, am I dunking them in the water, or am I just, shoving them in the way you normally?
You can toast the bun, throw some ketchup and mustard on there if you want.
I could probably do a dozen then. If you're adding condiments, then I could probably do a dozen. I don't want to do a plain hot dog.
Yeah, I wonder what goes into the preparation for that. I mean, you're training all year to eat like that amount of food.
A lot of enemas.
That's
what I hear, a lot of enemas. Clean the system out.
Yeah, I mean, you got it. They make a lot. They make money doing this. Like,
and most of them are in good shape. That's the funniest thing that I see with all these eating contests, the wings and the hot dogs and whatever. Almost everybody is in pretty decent shape. You would think the guy, just the huge 500-pound fat guy. You ever see the movie Meatballs? I'm dating myself. There's a movie called Meatballs.
No.
It's an old Bill Murray movie, and this little skinny kid wins the hot dog eating contest, yet the other guy, who's like 4 bills, can't beat him. You would think the guy who's 4 bills is going to wreck the 180-pound guy, but it's the skinny guy who wins. It's like, what's his face? Not Kobe.
Joey Chestnut.
Joey Chestnut's
in reasonable shape.
Reasonable shape for a guy who downed 75 hot dogs.
Yeah, he's in reasonable shape. He's able to. What do you got to? Like,
I eat 2 hot dogs and I blow up like a friggin' blimp. Joey Chestnut eats 75 and he loses 5 pounds. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, I wonder if you. I wonder if any of these.
Can I just eat 2 hot dogs and not gain weight, please?
You wish you had the metabolism of Joey Chestnut.
No, I wish that I didn't eat as much as that I did, and that I could go to the gym, and that I wasn't such a stoic bastard.
I hear you. Well, I just can't eat, period. I can't eat a lot of food, so.
You can't?
No.
Why? What's wrong with you?
I just don't have a big, I don't know. I just don't have a big appetite. I've never been able to eat. Going back to when I was a kid, I've never been able to eat a lot of food.
Can't do the buffet? The buffet's a waste for you?
Yeah. I don't eat much anyway. Very picky
eater.
Just
have a salad.
Yeah.
Just have a little thumb.
That's actually a good thought. Salad, stuff along those lines. I don't eat too much.
I hate people like you.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Okay.
Not just
because of the eating.
Not just for the eating.
Everything else.
But for other reasons as well.
Well, the thing that sucks for me is I used to be, I was like a rail almost all my life. I was just a beanpole, and it was great. I could just eat whatever I wanted. And then all of a sudden, I don't know when it was 38, 40, 42, 43, somewhere around there, the old metabolism changed, and I look at food, and I gained 12 pounds.
Yeah, the metabolism starts to slow down as you get older. I've been.
It might
help
if I go to the gym again, but
yeah.
You
know. Well,
Monday.
There you go. Monday.
I swear to God, oh God, please. I am not a religious person, but dear God, please let me have the power. Please let me. Now this guy. Oh, you missed him. The big fat bastard of a guy. You would think would win, but please let me go to the gym on Monday. Please, just let me try and go. Let me lose weight.
Well,
let me fit into my 40 shorts.
There you go. And report back on whether or not you make
it. Report back in 5 months when I'm back on the air.
When Christmas rolls around.
Exactly.
speaking of guys that can't fit into their shorts, Cam Newton certainly can. I don't know if you've seen his Instagram videos.
I have. They're quite impressive.
He's in very good shape.
Yes, he is.
He looks almost
very
like,
jealous.
If you ever go to a sporting goods store and you see those mannequins.
Yep.
That's like what Cam Newton
looks like. Yeah.
He looks like an absolute superhero. So now, I don't know if anybody's heard, but he's a member of the New England Patriots.
You're kidding.
Yeah, he's...
When did this happen?
He signed with the team. Well, he's going to sign with the team. He's got that $1 million deal, $500,000 in guaranteed money to join the New England Patriots. So do you think this was a move where Belichick knew the whole time that he was going to be able to wait this out and get Cam Newton? Or do you think this is a occurrence of, well, Cam Newton's still available, he costs nothing, let's get him? Or was he just playing every other team knowing?
I think it's kind of a combination of a number of things. I think it's, number one, they knew they didn't need to rush because, as we talked about before, there were limited teams that needed quarterbacks, and those teams either got them via the draft, or they, Chicago's case, went out and picked up
traded
Nick
him,
Foles.
Yeah.
I think what Belichick did is Belichick was able to wait things out simply because nobody could take a look at this guy because of the COVID factor, because of physicals and whatnot. Nobody could really do their due diligence. And I think a lot of teams out there, they wanted to get their ducks in a row. I don't want to wait until June.
Right.
I don't want to wait until the start of July to get my quarterback. It's March. It's April. I want to get my quarterback now. I want to be able to fill my, you know, the most important need of my roster right now. Whereas Belichick says, okay, I'll wait. We've got this kid Stidham who we like. We don't need Cam Newton, but if he's there and he's available, we'll take him. And I think that's exactly what he did.
And the reason I asked it that way, Greg, is because if I look at the landscape of how things played out, if the Patriots just, when free agency started, if they went out, and I know they didn't have the salary cap number, but just play along for the sake of the argument, if they went out and they gave Cam Newton like a 2-year, $60 million contract, this is the one thing in terms of the reservation I have about
would have been stupid. Based on his health,
right,
it would have been an abomination.
But say this is a normal offseason and you look at the foot, everything seems good, and Belichick's betting on the player, like giving him a big contract.
Right.
I would feel like, okay, there's nothing to worry about from a health perspective. Like, you feel pretty good about the health. The one thing that I would be concerned about, obviously, is the health. There's a laundry list of issues, and that's the one thing where it makes me that it happened this long is Bill just bargain basement shopping like he's done in the past. That's why if he had signed him earlier in the offseason, I would have felt like I'm already all in. I believe the Patriots are going to win the division. I believe Newton's the best quarterback in the division. I'm there. But the one reason, though, one pause for concern I have is it took this long. So I'm trying to comprehend.
Yeah, but you know why it took this long, though,
right,
don't you?
I do, but shouldn't I still be concerned about that at least a little bit, that Newton's in a place where it took him this long to get a contract with the Patriots? Like, if they had signed him months ago, I'd be like, all right, Belichick's 100% confident.
Well, why would you sign him 2 months ago? You didn't have to. Why sign him 2 months ago when, well, you didn't have the money, but if you did, why spend the money 2 months ago? Why sign him 2 months ago when you've already got somebody that we think like in Jared Stidham, and why not let the whole situation play out? If there was no such thing as COVID, if the COVID thing had never existed, would Cam Newton have lasted on the market until June 30th?
I don't believe so.
I don't either.
Well, that's my point. That's my point when I get back to, well, okay, if Belichick was willing to wait, did he know the whole time that none of these teams were going to sign Cam Newton? Because there was reporting that they have been communicating for months, right? Like, Belichick has reached out to his camp, whatever, several times. So was Belichick just looking at the landscape and mapping it out? And this is another genius Belichick move where he said, all right, I know Newton wants to be a starter and that's it, or at least compete for a job, because that's what he's promised here, right? Compete for a job. And I'm one of the only spots that can do it. And when I look at it, Jacksonville's tanking. So why would they go after him, right? They're trying to get Trevor Lawrence in the draft. So if Belichick did the math and he's like, okay, the Chargers are going after a young kid in Herbert, he's going to be waiting there anyway. So did Belichick just play this thing out perfectly to the point where Cam Newton ends up with the Patriots?
Yeah, I think he knew that there were going to be very few options for Cam Newton in March and April because of the injury, because of the question marks with the physicals and the health and the fact that certain teams wanted to go another direction. I mean, if you're the Los Angeles Chargers, say what you want about Cam Newton, former MVP, yada, yada, yada. If you're the Los Angeles Chargers, do you want a young quarterback? Do you want to draft a young quarterback and try and groom somebody? Or do you want a question mark in Cam Newton? I think the answer is pretty simple. If you're the Chargers, you're not necessarily a contender. You go for the young quarterback in the draft. You don't go for a question mark in Cam Newton. And if you're the Chargers, you sure as hell couldn't go out and sign Cam Newton back during the spring because you don't know, you wouldn't know what kind of shape he was in.
Yeah, and then you'd have Cam Newton, Tyrod Taylor, and the young guy. I mean, that's just a cluster bleep to try to figure everything out with who's going to play when and who's going to be the starter. Is Cam Newton going to be the starter?
I mean, think about it. Name a place that would have been a good fit for Cam Newton. Or maybe even a better fit than New England for Cam Newton. It's hard to pick one out.
For the player?
No. For the team.
For
a team out there, what team out there would say to themselves in March or April, we got to get Cam Newton. We will be in a better position if we sign Cam Newton right now.
If I was the Bears, I would have done it. Rather than giving up draft capital and paying Nick Foles all that money, I would have rather taken Cam Newton than Nick Foles. But that's just my preference. I believe Newton's the better player.
Timing thing, though. Again, it's a timing situation, whereas back then you didn't know what kind of physical shape he was in, and you couldn't necessarily get him in for a physical.
Yeah.
So you had to go for the, whether it was your plan A or plan B in Nick Foles.
Yeah, and in terms of like actually getting a contract during the COVID-19 pandemic, nobody got screwed over more than Cam Newton. Nobody. This guy got screwed over.
Why do you think he got screwed over? Because I don't think he did because of the injuries the last couple of years.
Well, I feel like if he goes and meets with a team and they look at him right away, maybe there's more of a market for Cam Newton. Maybe the Chargers say, okay, maybe we'll consider going this direction instead of the young guy.
Maybe you get a chance to poke and prod at him a little bit more and you have an idea of where he is physically.
Free agency's before the draft, so you can look at him during free agency. Maybe he goes to the Bears and the Bears say, okay, maybe instead of giving up a draft pick, we take a look at Cam Newton and see if he's good to go. So I believe like just the ability to travel across the country and meet with different teams, he really got screwed over when it comes to that perspective.
Yeah, no, I agree, and that's why I think that it had COVID not happened, I think you probably would have seen Cam Newton sign somewhere else. I'll say this, it's weird to say because Tom Brady is Tom Brady. I'm more excited about week one, week two, week three of this season than I would have been had Tom Brady come back. I had soured. It's weird to say you sour on Tom Brady. I can't say a sour on Tom Brady, but based on his pouting last year and not going to the young receivers and the woe is me, we're 8-0, I did. I soured on Tom Brady a little bit. It's kind of nice to have some fresh new meat, so to speak, with a guy like Cam Newton. I'm more excited to see what Cam Newton can bring to this team than what Tom Brady could have brought to this team at 43. Look at that guy. That guy right there. That fat bastard should win the contest, and he will not even come close. He will have like 30 less hot dogs than Joey Chestnut.
Yeah, that is a very large individual.
Guy, I mean, he makes Vince Wilfork look like Adam Vinatieri. That's how big that dude is.
All right, well, Greg's more excited to see Cam Newton next year than he would have been with Tom Brady. I am as well. Are you 617-779-7937? You're listening to WEI.
I know.
All right, happy 4th of July, Brian Barrett, Greg Dickerson.
Is
taking
it really?
Me to the top of the... Well,
No, I'm saying, is this the most... And I've worked 4th of July's before here. This is the most un-4th of July day in the history of my lifetime. It feels like any regular day. It doesn't feel like the 4th of July.
That's kind of the case with every day of the week now, too, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
It just feels like we're in a cycle where it's just the next day, and you got to ask yourself, which day is it? Especially that there's no games.
I looked at my calendar the other day. I was on my iPad or doing whatever the hell I was doing, and it was like July 2nd, and I go, when did that happen?
When did July arrive?
When did June end? Why didn't somebody tell me this? I was not aware of this.
Yeah. It's been obviously a brutal couple of months, but hopefully we can get some sports back and that'll bring some
We got work. It on right now. What are you talking about? Two minutes and 24 seconds to go. Joey Chestnut is just obliterating the field. And my favorite, Eric Badlands Booker, the 400-pound hot dog eater, is in last place. He's only at 16. It proves my point. The bigger and fatter you are, the less food you can shove down your gullet in these contests.
Yeah.
He's got 17. Chestnut's got 62. The guy in second place is at 36. Chestnut is up to 63.
And, Greg, he just got the Barry Bonds, like the record books. He just, for the all-time, over 1,000.
Oh, in a career?
Yep.
So I think he hit 70. He's not going to hit 70. I think he's hit 70 over the last couple of years. If I'm him now, I'm last minute and a half. No one's catching me. I'm mailing it in. I'm not shoving more hot dogs down my stomach.
Yeah. See, that's why I don't blame him if he doesn't break his own record, because he wasn't pushed. It's on the other competitors. They did not come here. They did not bring it and push him enough. So I guess naturally the question is he a more dominant athlete than Brady?
I would say
nobody's close to this guy, man.
It's like, who was the? Oh, Ronda Rousey. It's like, I always thought Ronda Rousey was a fraud because there were no good female UFC fighters. It's the same thing with Joey Chestnut. Although the way he's beating these people, I mean, he's not just beating them by 5 or 10 hot dogs. He's beating them by 30. So the man's obviously a talent.
Yeah, you're right about the Rousey point. I remember that too. Like when all these other women like Cyborg and who's the one now? Amanda Nunes. When they started to come into MMA, and then she lost like what, 3 fights in a row?
Yeah. Yeah, because she fought nobody. She bought punching bags basically before, and everybody thought she was this great fighter, and she was nothing special. Joey Chestnut at 71 with 30 seconds to go. 72. History in the making. We have to go, don't we?
Yeah, we got to go in a second here. But what is the record? 70.
Don't ask me. I have no idea. How do I know?
The home run record or the fraudulent one is 73, right, Bonds?
Is that what it is? I always forget that one, too. Chestnut at 73 now. Can he get to 74? That just looks so friggin' uncomfortable.
He's going to have a great rest of the day. Well, I hope you enjoy this, if we can even call it 4th of July. For Greg Dickerson, Nick LaPan, and Brian Barrett, have a great 4th of July. Be safe and be well.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.